Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you all this morning. We've got some sticky pages here. Nice to be back with you here at First Emmanuel. I'm not sure how many of you remember me, but I have been here before and have preached here before. I'm pretty sure it was 7 years ago. And in fact, I was thinking about it this weekend. If I'm remembering this correctly, it was exactly 7 years ago, because it was also on the day of the Pride Parade. I remember the traffic trying to get home after worship 7 years ago, going all the way back to that time before I retired. As I come back now and return after what I've been referring to as my six-year sabbatical from the bishop's office. And now, here I am again in this strange place of transition again to a new bishop. I feel a little bit like I should be singing that old Groucho Marx song, "Hello, I Must Be Going." But we are in a very important transition or in-between time now in this synod, having just finished the assembly where we've elected our new bishop, Pastor Eric Christensen, who will assume the office of bishop on September 1st, and me, not quite gone yet, because for these next 2 months, I am still the bishop. Even though I am retiring rapidly, back into that place of quiet invisibility. A time in between this and that, where I'm starting to feel a little bit like I'm not quite as chained to the responsibility of this office, and yet at the same time, not quite free from all of the chains just yet. All of which, quite frankly, puts me in just about a perfect situation for a day like today, on this Sunday that lands squarely between Juneteenth and July 4th, just about a perfect moment for me to share a few thoughts on one of my favorite subjects, which is the subject of Christian freedom. And specifically, how easy it is for us all to get fooled, about what it is that really sets us free, and what it is that really just lands us in a sneaky way in a brand new prison. You take money, for example, something that in our society just about everyone seems to agree has the power to set us free. And so it does, because anyone who has ever lived without enough of it knows that the special kind of worry and frustration and despair that comes from not having any money is a deep, dark prison cell from which it can feel like there is no escape, except to get a lot of money. But really, the odd thing that I've learned in my experience over the years is that many times, the people living in the cell right next door to the poor are the people who have way too much money, and who now live every single day of their lives in the solitary confinement of terror that they will lose it again, or that someone will take it from them, or that someone else will grab more of it than they have. Or in our society, maybe sex is the thing. Maybe sex is the thing that we are quite sure will set you free, free to do whatever you want with whomever you want, only to discover yourself imprisoned by a world of hurt, betraying the trust of those you love, or dealing with a disease or a pregnancy, or entering your golden years compelled to take a pill of one kind or another to make you feel 29 again so that you know you're still alive. Or perhaps you have found a chemical. A chemical to drink, or to smoke, or to sniff, or to swallow, a chemical that has such a delightful, almost magical power to make you feel light and free. So free that you think maybe you should take a little more of it so that you can feel freer still. And then you take even a little more so that you can feel more free, and then... For freedom, Christ has set you free. Therefore, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. That was how St. Paul said it to the Galatians. Apparently, Christian freedom was one of his favorite subjects, too. And today, in his letter to the Romans, Paul approaches the very same topic again, but this time he approaches it indirectly by talking about Christian obedience, which at first glance might appear to be exactly the opposite of Christian freedom. But what Paul points out is that knowingly or unknowingly, we are all going to live in obedience to someone or something, because you will always obey whomever or whatever you love and trust. If you happen to love and trust the power of wealth, you will irresistibly obey the call to acquire more and to accumulate more. But if you love and trust science and human reason, you will obey the disciplines of evidence, logical argument, experimentation, and verifiability. If you love and trust yourself and yourself alone as an individual, rugged loner, you will obey the inner voice, or maybe the private opinion, that calls you to separate and distinguish yourself from the boring conformity of all that common rabble out there. But if you love and trust the wisdom of the community that has formed you, you will celebrate and embrace the kinship and connection that all those other individualists are working so hard to get free from. If you love and trust the power of violence to get you what you want, you will obey the laws of domination, intimidation, extortion, or perhaps the tooth and claw struggle of life as a perpetual cage match with no rules at all. Or maybe you will choose to obey uncritically the voice of a political strongman who obeys nothing except the gratification of his own appetites or the sovereignty of his own grandiose ego. And if you love and trust the invisible hand and transcendent wisdom of a laissez-faire economy, you may find yourself far more obedient to a call to keep the markets free than to a call to liberate those who are being crushed by economic disparity. But the key to Christian freedom, Paul reminds us, is not to shun obedience and become lawless, but rather to obey wisely. To obey wisely. And to make sure that the one you follow, the one you love and trust, is the one who did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because freedom, my friends, the kind of freedom that comes to you through that cross, True freedom is not something that you can ever grab or steal or seize. Freedom is not something that anyone can take away from you or something that another person can give you. Freedom is yours. It is yours already. A pure, uncomplicated gift from the hand of the God who so loved the world that he gave his only son so that that world might be free at last. And so it is that as we now approach this 250th Independence Day, so it is that we, you and I, are invited to discover all over again the astonishing truth that though freedom may take many forms, freedom is always God's free gift to you, given in response to whatever binds or oppresses or imprisons you. God's response to whatever is holding you in chains. It is a gift to release you now from whatever it is that you need to be free from, whatever it is that is holding you back or keeping you small or wrapping its fingers around your throat. Christ calls you in those moments when the walls of your life are closing in around you, swallowing you up in the fears and insecurities, the griefs and grudges, the pain and betrayal that will not let you go. Christ calls to you when you live in dark bondage to the forces that scream in your ear that you are trapped, that you will never get out, that you aren't going anywhere. This same Christ puts the key in your hand and throws open the door in front of you to say, come out. Just exit. For on this day, the promise of liberty to the captive is fulfilled in your hearing. But Jesus Christ does not set you free from anything without also calling you to hear and obey with courage and humility whatever it is that you are being set free for. Because whoever you are and wherever you have come from, no matter what you have done or failed to do on this day, Christ has set you free to bear in abundance the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control. Christ has set you free for forgiveness, that incomprehensible promise that the past, when honestly confronted, the past does not ever have the power to control the future. Christ has set you free by forgiveness so that with your very own hands you may do God's work of setting others free from bondage to their prison of sin. Christ has set you free for compassion and healing so that with your very own hands you may do God's work of unbinding those locked in grief or illness, addiction, or depression. Christ has set you free for justice, so that with your very own voices and hands you may participate in God's work of challenging the structures of privilege and exclusion, hostility and violence in the workplace and in our healthcare system and in our immigration policies and in our love and respect for those who we may see as different from ourselves. Jesus Christ has set you free for all. God's work, our hands. Hands held open without restraint to share the freedom we ourselves have received and so to proclaim the truth again and again and again that when the Son makes you free, you are free, indeed. Amen.
Amen. Please rise for the hymn of the day.